Father, we thank you that the message that we're about to receive is not from Gary, but it is from you, Lord. And may each and every one receive it in their spirit to become revelation to their mind. Father, may we all realize that we need to walk closer with you each day. Father, we need to hear your voice and understand, Father, that unless we do, we cannot make it, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight. And just lead and guide Gary as we go in the service tonight. And all the people said,
Amen. Hallelujah. And for benefit of the tape, when he says all the people, he means all the people. Hallelujah. We got a bunch here again tonight. I'm going to go ahead and mention a little bit about the trip we just got back off of. Where's that paper I was passing around? Still going? Okay, keep it going around here. I want for those that don't know, we just got back from our first, what do you call those, mission trip, revival meeting, whatever. Anyway, we got to go to Houston and preached five messages in 3 days. And it was a seminar on kingdom finances. But now, you know how, I think these people were shocked. Because, you know, when you go to a Christian kingdom finance seminar, what you expect to hear is formulas, you know. Give and it'll be given unto you. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You know, all of those type of things. And the message with us was basically, somebody said it earlier, three words. Spread out over five messages over 3 days. But the three words, if he's going to just put it in just those three words, it would be pray and obey. You know? And what we take for granted, you know, we're so blessed at the prayer center because a lot of things that we've been taught that we just take for granted, people don't know. People don't know out there. You know, God will come and talk with me and prosper my business if I spend time with him. Who ever heard of that? You know? Yeah, what a concept, you know. But it is to them. You know, it's all been formula. It's all they've ever been taught, you know. And so the Lord blessed us and allowed us to preach that. And they're already talking about having us come back down. They treated us like royalty. If you haven't seen this, the house where they put us up happens to be listed for sale. And LaRue Atkinson, he's the fellow that invited us down. And he's living there. I mean, this is a $300,000 estate on a 6-acre tract. In one of the most posh parts of Houston. The trees you've seen in the movie, it looks like Gone with the Wind type trees. You know, those live oaks with the moss that hangs down and everything. I mean, it's just gorgeous. It's all landscaped, and we're just down there suffering for Jesus. horrible, hacking our way through jungles and everything. And they treated us like royalty. I mean, to the point it was almost embarrassing, you know, that they wouldn't let us do anything. Oh, no, we'll make the coffee. You know, while I was preaching, I didn't know it, but there was some women at the house cooking. And we'd get through preaching. By the time you finish praying, you know, the prayer line, and it's about 30 miles from there back home, we get back to the house, and they've got these gourmet meals prepared, you know, with lasagna, and one night they had Mexican meatloaf. Now, that was a spicy meatloaf, I'm telling you what. Now, they had to pray the next morning for recovery. I mean, you know, heal me, Jesus, you know. Hallelujah. But it was just wonderful. And I want to tell you about the one that, now, everyone that comes to these type meetings normally is already saved and spirit-filled, you know. These, so we didn't have like a landslide of people. But we did have one. We found out later that she was Baptist. And she's a nice-looking lady, about, I'd say, roughly 30 years old. And she just came in, kind of sat middle ways near the back. But when we, at the end, now that message that night was strong on praying in other tongues. The whole message basically that night was, if you want to prosper from God, you've got to hear from God. And if you're going to hear from God, then you've got to obey Him. But the key to all of that is starting to spend time with the Holy Ghost by praying in other tongues. So the hunger in her built and built and built. So we had a kind of a no reason line. Y'all remember when Dave has those no reason lines, you just come up to be prayed for? And what I appreciated from the Holy Ghost is immediately when I got in front of her, I just knew this woman could not pray in tongues. And so without embarrassing her, I just kind of leaned and gently asked her, I says, "You can't pray in tongues, can you?" She said, "No, and I want to." She said, I've been asking God, and I've been prayed for by this minister," and she mentioned the name, I don't know who it was, "but I've been prayed for by this one, I've been prayed for by that one," and I said, wait a minute, that's all right, because you're going to be praying in other tongues in 2 minutes. And 2 minutes later, She was. Glory to God. So I think that's the only one that passed through there during those services that was not filled with the Spirit, and she did not escape the gospel net. Hallelujah. Jesus and the Holy Ghost got her, so praise God for that. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Gary.
How y'all doing? Okay. Oh, you need a lesson for tonight, don't you? Okay, let me have one. Let me get it. I made 40 this week. We'll see. They're already collated, so take two papers just like they are and pass it on. We'll start the other ones around this way, I guess. Hallelujah. For the benefit of some that might just be here the first time, what we're doing right now is we're teaching a series on boot camp, and because the Lord kept dealing with me, if we had trained our soldiers in World War II, the same way the church is training the army of the Lord, you know, right now it takes, if you're in a good church, 15, 20 years to get you trained. It's not supposed to take 15 to 20 years to make soldiers. If it would have taken that long in World War II, we'd all be speaking German now, you know. I would be Gerhard Zimmermann. That's Gary Carpenter in German, you know. And so he kept dealing with me. He says, no, he said, we're going to get back to the basics. We're going to have to drill some things. Like the first or second night that we had this, the Lord was comparing a rifle to a soldier with our mouth. You remember that? And the ammunition to a rifle, the comparison would be words. See? Because the Bible talks about your words being like a sword. Well, it'd also be like a rifle and shooting somebody, too. It hurts them, you know. And it can be used for blessing and cursing. So we've been going through just the basic things. And then also we've been trying to not just teach, but also demonstrate for like the last 30 minutes and actually do some of these confessions. Hallelujah. So I think most everybody, let's see, we need one over here for Sean. Now, who's near the door? Angie, would this work if somebody else comes in? Nick, you're going to need one. Oh, you got one. Who needs one? Tony needs one over here. Has everyone got one? Okay, right over here. Two more over there? All right. Okay. All right. Now, how do y'all like the title? Don't help God. Don't ever try and help God. What's wrong with you? God don't need no help. You know? Now, before we start this, let me tell you about a vision I had within the last 2 weeks. Oh, yes. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to pass this around. Please just write your name on there. And most of you, I have your addresses and phone numbers if you want to be on our mailing list. If you know that you haven't ever written it on there, well, please do. I've got yours. So, and then just take it and pass it on. Okay. I had a vision about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks now. Minded my own business, praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, now this is not the best vision, nicest vision I ever had. I saw myself stone cold dead in a coffin. I said, whoa. I was seeing it clear, Daisy. I mean, I was seeing this. And I was going, I didn't know at first if this was a good thing or a bad thing, you know. But then I started hearing the scripture that says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, you know, when you're dead, you're dead, you know. Hi, come on in. And I kept looking at this, and I'd hear that scripture, and I still wasn't getting the point of what God was trying to tell me. And then I heard him say this, son, what are you going to do to help me now? Did you hear that? What are you going to do to help me now? Now, see, here's the whole problem. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help at all. When Jesus died on the cross, as you know, he did that as substitute for Adam. It was one or the other. Adam and all the descendants of Adam, how many of y'all know the Bible still says, I was raised Baptist, I know this verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all right? There you go. Romans 3:23. And, well, it's true. And the whole deal was Adam and all of the descendants of Adam were going to have to die for their sins, or they needed a substitute. Well, God loves us. Everyone say, thank God for that. God loves all the descendants of Adam, and he didn't want us to have to literally die and go to hell. So what he did, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the sinless one, the Lamb of God. And when He died on the cross, legally, in the judgment hall of God, Adam and all of Adam's descendants, including you, including me, we all died. So from God's point of view, everyone look at your neighbor and say, you're dead. Well, actually, seeing legally, that's true. From God's point of view, you're dead. There's nothing. Now, can a dead man save himself?
No.
Can a dead man help himself?
No.
Well, can a dead man help God?
No.
And that's what he was asking me. He said, now see, I want you to understand, boy, you're dead. What are you going to do to help me now? Now see, that's the whole thing. And this is a little bit different from tonight, but that's okay. When I was growing up, they always preached Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and that's the one that says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, so forth and so on. It says that you may be transformed by the renewing of your mind and know the perfect will of God. That's not exact, but you understand those two verses, right? They always lifted it out of context, and the end result, the way I grew up in a denominational church, was this. Now see there, you got to live right. I'm telling you, you got to straighten up your act. You got to quit doing that. You women got to quit wearing them earrings. You know, them devil stirrups with it. You know, like Dave says, that the devil uses to mount your mind, you know. Those, some of those churches I was in, men weren't allowed to wear red neckties. Number one, red was the color of hell, and a necktie points down toward hell. I mean, just get into all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, man-made crap. And excuse my French, but it is, you know. And but, you know, the bad part is you grow up believing that stuff. I mean, they're supposed to be speaking for God. They're supposed to be speaking for God, you know. And you grow up, you're 8, 9 years old, 7 years old growing up, and that was, you know. Well, no wonder there's something in us that leaves that when you get old enough to where they can't make you go no more. That's what I did. I got out of there. But anyhow, religion lifts those two verses out, and basically, they lift it out of context. And y'all that go to Dave's, you know you never, ever lift a verse out of context. And what they basically preach is, live right. Now, you might as well know that is the exact opposite of what Paul is teaching in the book of Romans. That may, there's some in here that may still yet be going, really? Yeah, really. Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7 talks about the futility, the absolute impossibility of man by his own human effort living up to a holy life in front of God. That's what the law was all about. Man cannot do it. Let me ask you this. Can a fallen flesh creature, can the energy of fallen flesh make fallen flesh holy? Energy in the flesh to do that kind of thing. Now you can clean up your act some in the sight of men. Men will admire. He said, well, yeah, he's done so good. He's quit doing that. He's quit doing this and, you know, straightened up. See? But you can't become holy. I don't care what you do. Fallen flesh is not capable of perfecting the flesh. So when you try and do it with human strength, you're on a road of futility. It'll never work. Then the covenant switches in Romans chapter 8. And he starts talking about the Holy Spirit and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he says there, if you through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. But it's through the Spirit, see? So the whole point is, we've already been judged. As far as God's concerned, we're dead. You're lying in a coffin, stone cold dead. There's not a thing you can do to raise yourself from the dead, is there? You can't give yourself new life. You can't quicken yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't do anything except what? Receive the work of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Now, do you think being in that position, you're in any shape to help God? I don't think so. I don't think so. How many of you have tried to help God? Oh, yeah, here they go. Okay. Oh, I've tried to help God. Turn in your Bibles. I don't have this on here tonight. And if you don't, you can just listen, you know, look it up later when you get home. Genesis chapter 16. We're going to look at a classic case of helping God. And we're going to use Abraham. And the reason I like to use Abraham, he's the father of our faith. The same book of Romans says that we as believers are supposed to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Now, sometimes, you know, when you don't read the whole book, sometimes we start exalting these people to levels that they really were not. We kind of make little gods out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know. Listen, the New Testament, we're going to look at this verse in a little while, says that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, you need to know, you can go back and read Genesis and find out he wasn't always that way. He didn't start out fully persuaded, neither was Sarah. She laughed. And we're going to look at a case here where this is before they became fully persuaded. Okay, so if we can find out what they did here before they became fully persuaded, so we don't do that, and then we can find out what they did to become fully persuaded, there's hope for us. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right, now watch this. Genesis chapter 16. Now you got to remember, God had already promised Abram and Sarah that they were going to have a child. She had always been barren, even when she was young and beautiful. She'd never been able to have a child. Now they were getting older. They had been in the promised land at this point 10 years. Now, Andy, how long did you... Where's Andy? How long did you stand for that guitar?
2.5 months.
I have stood for things for months, and I have stood for things for years before they manifested. But not very often do you have to stand 10 years. They've been in the promised land. We'll see it here in a minute. 10 years. So I'm not coming down too hard on them. I don't know too many people that stood in faith for 10 years without wavering. Okay? Let's read this a little bit here. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. Now, if you mark in your Bible, you ought to underline the next three words. It may be. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. See there, they've been there 10 years. And gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now, I could keep going, but we've already passed the point here. Y'all see what's going on? They've had this promise of God for 10 years. They've been in the promised land for 10 years. But 10 years with no manifestation gets hard. Okay? Your mind starts playing on you. Reasonings, natural human reasonings start kicking into play. And I wanted you to especially notice, it may be. See, whenever those kind of thoughts start coming, well, maybe this is what God meant. Well, maybe He wants me to do it this way. Well, maybe that's the path over there He wants me on. Get it straight the rest of your life. God don't talk like that. Your problem is, the more you learn to develop your spirit to hear the voice of God, your problem is not going to be, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be, I wonder what He said. That's not the problem. God has no problem at all coming to you and making you know perfectly what He wants you to do. Your only problem is going to be, dare I do that? You know, because the devil's going to come in right there and say, now, has God said? Now, the devil will come with that voice. But normally when you say, well, it may be. Maybe this is what God means. You need to pray more. You need to pray more. God don't talk like that. He'll tell you plain, and I mean in no uncertain terms, what He wants you to do. Kind of like when He called us into the ministry. It wasn't any maybe about it. You will take up no offerings. You will sell no tapes. You will buy the posters. You'll buy the postage. I mean, you'll pay for the postage, buy the mailers, mail everything for free. Don't put in a return envelope. And oh yes, one other thing: don't ever let another human being know any need that you have the rest of your life. Now, I did not have a problem knowing what he said. That was not my problem, Nick, at that point. My problem was, oh, God. You know, that's why I tell everybody, you know, they keep, their first thing when they start coming, either, you know, here in Dave's is, I can't hear God, Brother Gary. That's Brother Dave. I just can't hear God. That's my problem. Well, they're going to have a bigger problem than that. The problem's going to become, I heard God. Oh, you're not going to believe what he told me to do, you know. And those of us that have walked his path for a while, we'll go, yeah, that's God. Amen. That's the way he talks. It always sounds impossible. Glory to God. I mean, what if he'd have told us the first night, we're going to bring about 50 people to your house every Thursday, you know. We wouldn't know about that, you know. What do you mean 50 people? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted you to see, it may be. It may be. Maybe this is what God meant. Start using that old human reasoning, you know. There's a, I didn't look this one up, in the Old Testament, it's an obscure little scripture. It talks about don't mingle the seed. And I always thought in the early days that was a strange thing. Why would God command them to do that? And now I know what he's talking about. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. So the word of God is seed. Okay? Don't be mixing human reasonings with God's word. And when he talks to you, don't be trying to figure it out. Just obey what he says. That'll work. By the way, there's the whole message in Houston. But anyway, hallelujah. Let's go to the lesson now. Anytime I capitalize, you all know that's Norval Hayes' voice, right? God doesn't need your help. God needs your obedience. Glory to God. He doesn't need your help. Every time that you try to help God with human effort, you will produce an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. Now, for you, those that might not know, the handmaid of Sarah's, Hagar, she did conceive and she did have a baby. And that baby's name was Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of all of the Arab nations today, who is still at war, on and off, with the descendants of Isaac, the Jews. Still yet today. I'll bet Abraham wishes to God he'd have never gone in there. I mean, it's been nothing but grief for his people ever since. You know? Alright, now. See, Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting on the promise that God would give them a son. And there's the problem. We get weary in well-doing. Brother Gary, I've been believing these scriptures. I've been confessing these scriptures like you told me. I've been praying in other tongues like you told me. I've done it 4 days, and I don't have it yet, you know. And sometimes you might tell me I've done it 2 months, and I don't have it yet. Well, Abraham and Sarah did it, you know, they were believing for 10 years, and they didn't have it yet. Does that change anything? Does that mean it's okay for you to start mingling your wisdom with God's wisdom? Only if you want to produce an Ishmael. And it'll give you problems probably the rest of your life. Anyway, watch this. Anyway, Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting on the promise that God would give them a son. They decided to help God out with their human natural reasoning powers and concluded that, well, this must be God's will. It may be. Maybe this is the way, see, for Abraham to produce a child by sleeping with Sarah's handmaid. Big mistake. Big mistake. The descendants of Ishmael are still at war with the descendants of Isaac today. Now, you need to understand this part. See, because a lot of people don't. They think God will stop them from making that kind of mistake. No, he won't. No, he'll let you do. The one thing God never violates is your free will. To the point, he'll let you go to hell if you choose to. Now, if the ultimate example to me, if God was ever going to step in and stop somebody's free will, surely he would have stopped in. He would have stepped right in between Eve and the serpent right before she bit that apple or whatever it was. I mean, if God was ever... I mean, just think of the untold millions that have gone to hell because of that. But even at that price, I'm telling you, the price God puts on your free will, the value that he places on it, even considering that, he did not step in and say no. And he won't stop you either. That's why it's so critical. We all of us have to hear the voice of God. pray, and obey. Amen. Now, understand this. God will never stop you from helping Him if you choose to. But you will have to live with the consequences of that decision. Once you birth a man-made program of any kind, it's nearly impossible to stop it. It's got a momentum of its own. That thing will roll, boy. It's hard to stop. I say again, don't help God. Most young believers run off trying to help God rather than learning to hear God. It always strikes me funny. Y'all ever think about the 12 disciples? Jesus had hand-trained these men for 3.5 years. I mean, full-time. They traveled with Him. They slept in the same house. They ate the same food. They watched everything He did. They listened to everything He said. He taught them how to cast out devils. He taught them how to heal the sick. I mean, if anybody ever got trained, I think Jesus is a pretty good trainer, don't you? I mean, you think this is a good Bible study. Glory to God. I'd like to go into those, wouldn't you? You know? But after 3.5 years, and He reappears to them after the resurrection, and what does He tell them? Don't do nothing. Don't leave Jerusalem. But Lord, we're trained. We're ready. Don't go nowhere. You stay right here and pray until you be endued with power from on high. And that's what God tells all new Christians. You get saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and Gerald and I have this saying, and we got it from a friend of ours, and it'll still fly. The best thing you can do with a freshly born again, freshly baptized in the Holy Ghost person, the best thing you could do for them and us is lock them in a closet till they can pray their way out. That's the best thing you could do. Until they can pray their way out. I mean, just let them rant and rave in there. You know, don't let them out. Let them rant and rave. Because they need to pray until the power comes. They need to understand some stuff. The Holy Ghost needs to straighten out their thinking. You see what I mean? Now, you say, well, the apostles, I mean, just immediately when they got the Holy Ghost, they left. Have you been hand-trained by Jesus for 3.5 years before that event? See, with us, it usually works backwards. I don't know how it was with you guys. I didn't know nothing until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that was my entry point to start learning. I hadn't been hand-trained by Jesus Himself for 3.5 years. See? So that's why with us, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Usually that's your entry point to even start learning anything that'll help folks. And what He's saying is, now submit yourself. See, Jesus is not here to hand-train you. Guess who is? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. I am not really your teacher. Dave is not really your teacher. No man really is your teacher. We point. Go pray. Go fast. Worship Jesus. You know, that's all we can really do. Point, try and get you connected with the Holy Ghost, because only He can get on the inside and change the way you think, change your emotions, change what you like and what you don't like, start making you over from the inside out into the very image of Christ. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, Brother Gary. I think I'll continue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm liking this myself, Sean. I'll slap you, boy. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Most young believers run off trying to help God rather than learning to hear God. The number one thing that is most important for believers is to become expert at hearing the voice of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a faith confession at this point, but say this, I am
expert
at hearing
the voice of God.
That's one thing that I'm good at.
It's the one thing that I practice
every day. I'm good at it.
I'm
going to stay good at it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, that's a good confession. That's a good confession. And the Holy Ghost wants you to hear His voice more than you want to hear it.
Amen.
I mean, that's the whole reason He's here. He's not keeping it from us. He's trying to get us in that closet. You know? Oh, the flesh hates that. Anyway. It's impossible to obey what you cannot hear. I mean, how's that for... y'all glad you came tonight? Is that a heavy revelation or what? You can't obey what you can't hear. See? That's why everybody, you start them off, you get their nose in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because most people, when they first start, they're not able to hear God, you know, very well yet. So you get them into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at least it starts putting a little restraint on their flesh, you know. They can read the words of Jesus, and he says things like, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, don't steal and stuff like that. Well, that starts restraining somewhat, but the idea is get them praying in the Holy Ghost, because once you start walking in love, you don't need law anymore. You're not going to steal from your neighbor if you love him. You're not going to sleep with your neighbor's wife if you love them. You're not going to lie to anybody because you love them. I mean, you'd lay down your life, you'd give them your stuff, or you'd lie, you know. See what I'm saying? So it's a process of learning to hear God. Here are some. Now I just wrote three examples. I could have written a book. Just item one here. It seems commonplace that one of the first, and I was one of these. I'm talking 1980, 81. It seems commonplace that one of the first things that new believers want to do is to, quote, go into full-time ministry. Now let me just tell you right off the bat before we go any further, you don't even know what you're asking for. I'm telling you, ministry is not at all what you think it is. Okay, but anyway, now understand this. Ministers of God are supposed to be called and sent. There are thousands and thousands of them out there that just got up and went. Okay, you hear what I'm saying? You need to know the difference. You need to know the difference. Most of their lives, I'm talking about these that just got up and went, most of their lives are spent producing Ishmaels. They're doing it in the energy of the flesh and with carnal reasoning. Well, this is the way you run a church. This is the way you print a bulletin. We sing three little songs, and we give our announcements, and we take the offering, and we take the offering for about 30 minutes, and then we preach for 10 minutes, and, you know, then we announce the social things, the picnics and all of that and everything, because the people really like that, you know. And then we dismiss and we have fried chicken. You know? And, oh, 12 o'clock. I used to tell Sue that. I told her. I says, one of the church that we grew at, she mentioned the 12 o'clock thing in church, you know? And I used to tell Sue, see, Sue wasn't raised in church. Look at Sue and say, she was a heathen. She was really in better shape than I was, see, because she didn't have all that stuff to unlearn. All right? But anyhow. It's a clean slate. So I kept telling her, for years I told her the church I was raised in, I said, I guarantee you one thing now, at noon, you're out the door, okay? Well, see, I don't think she but half believed me, because we wound up visiting there a few years back, one service.
You said they would say stuff like, if they had a visiting preacher, they'd say stuff like, well, now, preacher, you can just preach as long as you want to, but the rest of us are leaving at noon. I'll be darned if that guy didn't tell that other guy that. You were right.
That particular day that she went, first time she'd ever been there, we were down for a reunion down home, you know, and they happened to have that day a guest speaker. And they actually told him, says, now, Brother so-and-so, whatever his name was, I want you to know at our church, you're free to preach as long as you want to. And, you know, he's getting that big smile on his face. He says, however, the rest of us are leaving at 12 o'clock sharp. You know? And Sue looked at me wide-eyed. I mean, she was shocked. She said, and she wasn't real quiet about it. My parents were sitting right next to me. She's going, he really said it. I said, I told you, you know. Yeah. And then later on, just to say, you know, now in that church, you know, now they'll ask different ones, every Sunday to pray. You know, would you do the opening prayer type of thing, kind of like I did Gerald. But now, see, you could hear Gerald, right? Was that good praying?
Yeah.
The way it always is down there, Brother So and So, would you come up and open us with prayer? Sure will. And, you know, and he stands right up there, and here's the way the prayer goes. Honey, Father, and we pray, Lord. And, yeah. It's not tongues. It's not tongues. It's just so quiet. It's just so quiet you can't hear anything. And they got microphones. That's not the problem, you know. It's just and then we, every now and then you get a little tiny word. Bless. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Right in church, he's going, I can't hear him. You know. What's he saying, Gary? And I'm going,
quiet, quiet, you know.
And I also think in there one time she says, how come nobody's raising their hands? It was wonderful and horrible all at the same time. I'm telling you, it was great. Oh, you know. Oh, it was something. It was something. That's not the way you do ministry. See, that's what I mean by just being, you know, you got up and you went. You know, if you're going to be in ministry, you got to let the Holy Ghost. See, to me right now, y'all would be more comfortable if we did this at the church. You know, there's more room, there's more chairs, and I've asked God about it. To me, that's the way we ought to do it right now until we get a bigger house. There's only one problem. Every time I ask him, he says, no, I want it here.
Amen.
And so I don't care if there's 100 and we have to open the windows and shout out the windows. That's, we're going to do it here until he says otherwise. You know? Whatever. I don't know. My job is to pray and obey, not try and run this ministry. That's his job. Hallelujah. Go, Daddy. Hallelujah. Most of their lives are spent producing Ishmaels, and little, if any, of the true power of the gospel ever flows through them. Now, let me say this in all fairness. At that church, over these decades, they have a real good relationship with Jesus, the Savior. They have gotten lots of people saved there. It's not like, you know, totally dead work. You understand what I'm saying? Lots of people get saved there. Now, they don't change much, but they get saved there. And I believe they're going to wind up going to heaven now. Okay? So there's some of the power. I'm not saying that nothing happens. I'm not saying that, I mean, God will use whatever He has available. If that's all that's available in that community, He's going to use that to get it. See, God's not trying to keep people out of heaven. He's trying to get them in there. And if all, you know, there's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Well, the good will of God is get saved. I mean, that's first. If you don't ever get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't ever walk in love or anything else, dear God, at least get saved. You know, thank God for them. Like Pastor Dave says, you know, thank God for the Baptists. Where would we Pentecostals get our people? You know, they'll get them saved now, bless God. Hallelujah. We're doing okay here. Had a little mishap for benefit of the tape, but it's all right. Okay. But now, see, but right on the other hand, I've seen a lot of people get saved in that church. I've never seen a devil cast out there. I never have. I won't. You never will. I've never seen anybody be healed in that church. I've seen them pray for a lot of people's healing. They believe God can. They just don't know that He will. They don't believe it is His will a lot of times. See? So you're not going to see people falling out under the power. You're not going to ever hear anybody speaking with new tongues but once, because they'll kick you out after that. You know. Anyway. So you're not going to see much of the power of God. That's what I'm talking about, okay? They are forever trying to get God to bless their plan, rather than submit themselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to find out what God's plan is. Big difference. If you can find out God's plan, it's already blessed. I don't have to ask Him on a daily basis to pay our bills around here. He hired me. This is His plan. I just thank Him that He does it. He uses my arm to write the checks, but He pays the bills. Well, glory to God. That's nice. You know? By the way, we went down there. I'm not going to tell you in detail, but there wasn't anything discussed. We didn't really know where we were going to stay or anything else when we took that invitation to go to Houston. Not a word was ever said about money one way or the other. And it would have been fine with me, because I had the witness to go. That's all that matters to me. If the Lord says go, I'm fine. We're fully prepared. I took enough money we could have bought a motel room every night. I planned on eating, you know, buying our lunch, our food and everything. And if they hadn't to take up a single offering, that's fine too, because, you know, I don't work for them. I work for God, you know. It's wonderful to be free from money. I'm just free to obey God, you know. One of the things I told them down there in the course of the teaching, I said, you know, God can afford anything He wants to do. Y'all figured that out yet? Excuse me. Hello? Said, if God was to tell me to blanket Houston, and I asked him, I said, how many people live down here? They said, a little over 3 million. I said, I'm telling you right now, if God told me, Gary, I want you to take the Sunday night service, and I want you to make copies of that tape, and I want you to send one to every address in Houston, I'm telling you right now, boldly, I can afford to do it.
Amen.
Because what God, you know, when He has an assignment, When it's His plan, He pays for it. I wouldn't worry about it. I'd start making tapes. I don't know how. I don't know if the if our box of tapes just wouldn't run dry like the crews of oil. I don't know, or if he'd have people walking up one by one. God told me to bring tapes. I don't know how he would do it, but he would do it.
Amen.
See, oh, it's wonderful to get like that. Pray. It's wonderful. It's worth the price. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Here's Norval's voice. God's blessing is on His plan and not yours. Get it straight. Your job's not to make the plan. Your job's to hear the plan and obey it. He blesses His plan. He didn't bless my plan. He tells me what to do. His blessing's already on that. I heard Jerry Savelle say it this way years ago. Most of us are trying to go to God and say, God, please bless this plan. And if we go find out the plan, it'd already be blessed. See? Hallelujah. Well, what's the solution to this problem? Here are the four primary things that all young believers, and I'm talking about believers, you can be young and have been saved 40 years. Okay? I'm especially talking to those that feel down on the inside of you the call to ministry. See, because that call can be there a long time before He tells you to step out into it. Okay? But here's the things to be doing. Now, this is what you should be doing during that waiting time. Okay? Anyway, I made that clear enough, I think. Here's the four primary things to do to learn to hear God's voice. Number one, meditate the Word of God. Y'all remember that lesson, was it 2 weeks ago, when I talked about know His voice? And so many people think that when they're sick and that comforting voice comes, says, really, you're just, you don't feel good tonight. Really, you're just too sick to go to that healing meeting down at the church, I mean, you've been working hard and you've been witnessing and the Lord loves you and really, I don't know why He's not healing you and it's okay. And that little pat, 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 that's the devil. You don't ever find Jesus talking to sick people like that. You haven't meditated Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet. He does not talk like that to sick people. He says to a sick man that they had to carry in on... You weren't here that night, I'll tell you. A sick man that couldn't walk, they carried him in on a stretcher, let him down through the roof. The man can't walk. And does Jesus come over and say, oh, you poor thing, you poor little sheep, that's so sad. What does He say to the man? Take up thy bed and walk. Not just walk, pick your bed up and carry it home. Now, that's how Jesus talks to sick folk. That other voice is the devil. Quit listening to it. I've been so sick here. I've been sick to the point, sick. I don't have to draw you any graphic pictures, do I? I mean, sick. And God, I didn't even want to move. I didn't want to get afraid to move almost, afraid to get 10 feet from the bathroom, okay? You understand what I'm talking about? All right? Didn't know if I could run that fast. And God says, go to church tonight. And I go, what? Go to church tonight. I don't feel good. I didn't ask you if you felt good. I said, go to church tonight. Let's sue drive, okay? They might do that. Hallelujah. That's the way Jesus talks. You say, well, that doesn't sound very nice. It'll get you healed.
Amen.
It'll get you healed. That kind of talk. You'd obey that, you'll get healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, where was I? Item one. It seems common. Okay, no, we already started there. Hang on. Oh, we're getting into the four things. Meditate the Word of God. See, you got to find out, what does it say? Find out how Jesus talks to sick folks is one thing. Find out how He talks to people when they're in trouble. Get to know His voice. For if you want to know more about that, 2 weeks ago, get that tape. Okay? All right? But meditate the Word of God. Spend time reading your Bible. Spend time meditating the Word of God yourself. Don't just break it open when you go to church.
Right.
Break it open at home. Dear God, I probably wouldn't be in the ministry for the next 50 years if I never got in the Bible myself.
Yeah.
At home myself. Meditate the Word of God and ask the Holy Ghost to explain it to you. He will too. Item two. Item one, meditate the Word of God. See, that's your foundation is the Word. It always is. If people don't have the Word in them and they just jump to step two, that's scary. Pray in the Spirit. If they just jump to that and they don't ever get in the Word. Because, whether you know it yet or not, the Holy Spirit authored the Word. He agrees with every word in it. He knows what's in there. You need to know what's in there, because Paul said there's many voices in the world. Okay? I know people that swear that God told them that the wife they're married to right now, I mean, I actually had someone, you know, the wife they're married to right now, that was a mistake, and that God's telling them to dreams. Is that the case? Jesus does not talk like that. The Holy Spirit does not talk like that. What you're saying is God has no power. He can't change me. He can't change my wife. So now he's telling us to get a divorce. No, he's not telling you that either. He's telling you to go pray and call those things that be not as though they were, and speak the word over your wife and give the Holy Ghost something to work with. And speak it over you. You're probably more messed up than her if you talk like that. Dear God, you know. I'll cast that devil out. But see, if you don't know the word, you don't know, you have nothing to judge the voice that you're hearing. See? And so, well, yeah, the Holy Ghost told me. No, he didn't. He did not tell you that. It's like people come to Pastor Dave. Well, God told me that we needed to switch over to the First Church. Do they pray over there? No. You know, no, they don't pray over there, but God's telling us to move to the First Church. And Dave, you know, for years he was just real nice to him. Y'all know how Dave is, you know. Now he didn't. He says, no, he didn't. No, the Holy Ghost didn't tell you no such thing. You know, he's not going to send you somewhere where they do not teach you how to mortify the flesh. He just doesn't do that. That's not the Holy Ghost, for crying out loud. Anyway, item 3, go to a Spirit-filled church. I should have put quote marks and stars and underlined Spirit-filled. Because if you're going to a cold, dead church, you yourself will be cold and dead. Okay? Not in a good sense. Not the kind of mortification we're after. Your spirit man is going to starve to death, and you're going to be devil fodder. You cannot go, run, don't walk from a dead church. Well, it'll upset them and make them mad. Run, I said, don't walk from a dead church. Run from it like you would a stinking dead body. Get away from it. Hallelujah. Don't need to go into that. And it's good to go to a Spirit-led Bible study. It is good to go. It's good when, to gather ourselves together and just talk, you know. And it's good to go to a Spirit-led Bible study. Countless are the victims of pride whom the devil has convinced that they have, quote, matured beyond the need of these four things. I mean countless. We've had many a number through here. It's amazing. God had me pray 40 hours a week for 2 years, not counting all of the tapes I listened to over and over and over again of Dave's, not counting all the Friday nights that we went down and prayed at the church when we were doing that from 6 to midnight, not counting the second Saturdays of the month when we go down there and pray from 6 in the morning till 6. And it's amazing that we have not matured to the point yet that we don't need to meditate our Bible, pray in the Spirit, go to church, and have Bible study. But so many of these others, it just takes 2 or 3 months and they're mature.
Well, we were just a lot worse off.
I think that's really what they think.
They probably.
I honestly think that. But what's funny, you know, you watch that pattern and you know, they'll settle down somewhere in the First Church somewhere and just be, you know, normal Christians. And if you had to have evidence, you know, to convict them, there wouldn't be enough evidence to even convict them, you know. There's not much change from the world. Countless. I got to read that sentence again. Countless are the... Now, notice what it is. Countless are the victims of pride whom the devil has convinced that they have matured beyond the need of these four things. You need them. And I'll tell you this, especially if you're called to ministry, because new level, new devil. You better be in a good church with a good pastor. You better assemble yourselves with the believers who'll stand with you when the devil attacks. You know, most of the church is the strangest hospital you ever saw. They attack their wounded. But what I mean by that, somebody sins and they want to kick them out. Man, when you sin is when you need Christians. When you sin is when you need them to link up with you and restore you and get you back to God, you know. Man, that's when you need your friends, man. You need good Christian people then. 2. Here's another one. Y'all got that? Don't ever mature out of those four things. Do those four things. my flesh doesn't, I mean, that we don't say flesh. We say, I don't always feel like going to church, Brother Gary. That's the flesh. Tell it to shut up.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost does not talk like that. He wants you in that prayer center every time the doors are open. Do you understand me?
Amen.
Well, the doors are always open down there. He wants you down every service. How's that? Every service. How's that? Okay. Y'all know that. See, a lot of this, and I know a lot of these people, you know, a lot of people in here, we're at all different levels. Some of these things, I know you're not having problems with yourselves. I see Leonard there. He's there more than the carpet. You know? I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's there more than the carpet, and that's pretty regular, okay? But see, you're going to be discipling other people later on. That's the reason I give you these books and these tapes. You can have this for a quick reference. You know, you can share this stuff with other people. It's not just for your benefit. You can use it to help others too, all right? And then some of you are having these problems. I look up here. Item two. Thousands upon thousands of potential ministries. Now, I mean, these are people that God called. Now, He didn't call them yet. What I mean is, He hasn't said, step out. But the call of God's in them. Now, watch this. Thousands upon thousands of potential ministries have been wrecked from the beginning, because the devil twisted the scriptures and convinced the people that to live by faith means quit your job. The sad part is, most of the people who are destroyed by this method have good hearts and honestly believe that they were obeying God. It's one of the devil's main strategies for destruction, and here's two reasons why. Number one, it usually causes a person to starve out financially. See? And they'll eventually be forced back into the secular world anyway, only this time, they don't trust themselves anymore that they can hear God. See? God didn't come through for them is the way they see it. Or else, well, I must not have heard God, which they probably didn't. You know? But they don't ever dare again to step out by faith. You know, you get burned like that, it's pretty tough. And then secondly, very often the financial problems that are caused by this create so much strife in the home that married couples wind up getting divorced. The family becomes divided. Satan knows that a kingdom divided cannot stand. Now here's good advice. Norval's voice. You ready? Don't quit your day job. But I'm called to the ministry. I said, don't quit your day job. Dave preaches a message every now and then. He'll come back around to it, and I love it when he does it. He's talking about the real leadership of the Spirit. He says, God respects you and your life and His call on you too much to lead you by a whim. I don't know, I kind of thought maybe he wants me to start a church in Indiana. Really? When did that happen? It just came to me. You know, it just came to me. So they sell everything, they quit their job, they pack up, and they move, and they start a church in Indiana. They come back 6 months later, they're divorced now. They had to take a bus back. They repossessed the car. You know what I'm saying? Come back a total disaster. And then they're usually saying something like this. Why did God let that happen to me? You know? Why? You know, He told me to go. No, He didn't. He trusts you more than to lead you by some kind of a whim. Now, I'm telling you, see, when God comes, you'll know it. I can take you today to the mile marker on Interstate 40 in Arkansas where God told me, this is your last trip. I'll be able to take you to that spot 25 years from now, if they don't change the road. You know? I mean, I know where it was. It was not a whim. I'm willing to risk my life on it. I'm telling you, I would have starved. I knew what God said. It didn't matter the persecution. It didn't matter the financial troubles. It's either obey God or else. Okay? In fact, you all know my testimony. I didn't obey Him for 10 months, and I got a little portion of what else, and then I decided I think I'll obey God. But the point I want to get across to you is it's not a vague thing. I bet you, Pastor Dave, I've never asked him, I bet you he could drive you to Oregon right now and show you the spot where he heard the call. I mean, what I say is that when I say the call, he's probably called for years before that, but I mean when it says, now, come on out. Full time. Let's do it. Go. I'm telling you now. I bet you he can tell you the spot. Show you right where it is. He doesn't lead you, something this major on a whim. You'll know. When it's God, you'll know. It won't be like Sarah. It may be. Maybe God wants me to go to Indiana. You need to pray more. You haven't heard God yet. You haven't heard Him yet. And see, here's the thing. It doesn't really... It's fine for prophecies to confirm what God tells you, but don't ever take a prophecy as the foundation.
Amen.
It's not strong enough. The devil will beat you. I mean, the devil is not going to let your ministry blossom unchallenged. He is going to do everything he can to knock the props out from under you and convince you that God never called you.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And if you don't know that you know that you know down in your knower that you know that God told you, He is going to beat you out of it, and you'll be back in the secular world just like those people I mentioned a while ago. Now, it's fine if God may use a prophet, He may use a pastor like Dave, He may even use somebody like me to confirm what God has already said. Okay? Or sometimes to even tell you what's coming in the future. But you don't ever step out and base your ministry on something like that. That's not good enough. It's not a firm enough foundation. The devil will beat you out of it. Y'all got that point?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That
don't quit your day job. Keep your job, but be diligent to do the four things mentioned above, see? What is that? Meditate the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Go to a Spirit-filled church and go to a Spirit-led Bible study. But, brother, if I have a day job, I don't have time to do those things. Oh, I didn't mention on there, turn off the TV. Turn off the TV, you know. Quit all that putt-putt golf, and I'm being real nice. Quit all that stuff, you know. I thought you were called of God. Well, you don't expect me to give up my TV.
Come on.
You know, I want to give up my job. No, give up the TV, keep your job, and pray during that time you was going to watch TV.
TV's Satan's
toy
anyway.
Huh?
TV's Satan's toy anyway nowadays.
Well, TV actually was created by Jesus for Jesus. Now, I agree with you, the way it's used today, the devil's got control of it. But the church, I'm telling you, is going to rise up and take it back from the devil.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's coming in your lifetime. You're going to see it. Hallelujah. Don't quit your day job. Keep your job, but be diligent to do those four things. You'll find time if you're called. If you're not called, you won't. Okay? The hunger is too strong when you're called. You will find the time. Anyway. You will become better and better at hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if He ever does truly call you full time into the ministry, you'll know it. That's what I meant a while ago. In the meantime, men especially, provide for your family. Now, let's talk real practical for a minute. What I mean by that, one of the tools that the devil uses, if you guys hadn't noticed, is financial lack. Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah.
It's hard in the house when the bills aren't paid. It's hard. It creates problems, and the devil knows that, see? So if he can get you to quit your job, and now you got all these financial problems, and you're really out ahead of God, maybe God did call you. But, you know, maybe 5 years down the road, see? But if you can get financial trouble...
It causes condemnation for the men and shame for the men when they can't support their families.
That's right.
Even though they think they're called by God.
Yeah.
And that keeps them in turn from receiving anything from God.
That's right.
Men, it's just a vicious cycle.
Men are made to be providers. And when their families are not provided for, what she's saying, there is an inbred thing, a born in us thing that's condemnation. Plus that, women, when they get married, expect their husband to be providers, and when they're not provided for, that creates problems, see? So what we're saying is, look, be smart. Jesus said, how do you put that? Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, be as smart as the devil. And understand that God knows you have got to provide for your family until He calls you full time. Is that rocket science? We can understand that, right? If He hasn't yet called you full time, get the best job you can to take care of your family. And then give up that TV time instead of your job. And go pray. And God will honor that. Hallelujah. In the meantime, provide for your... After, okay, I did that. Now, here's a statement. Get this. Not only is God not obligated to provide your needs, if you choose on your own to quit your job and live by faith, see, He's not obligated if you choose to do that on your own. But now get this. He is obligated not to support that path financially because you are in violation of His word. The Bible still says, if any man provide not for his own, he is worse than an infidel, and he's denied the faith. Now see, it's just real plain. But I'm called. Has He told you now? Has He said today? Has He said now? Well, no, but I know I'm called. Until He tells you, get a good job, take care of your family, and pray. Read your Bible, go to church, come to Bible study. Believe me, it'll come quick enough. I'm telling you, you won't think you're ready when He says, step out. Isn't that right, Daisy? You'll say, I ain't ready. You know, now, before you pray, everyone thinks they're ready. I told y'all about the time I thought I was ready to be that gospel entrepreneur. You know, Dave was teaching on that real strong. And I thought, I got this, God. I got it. Watch me, God. Watch this. I got it. Make the money. Give it to Pastor Dave. See, Lord, I got it. I understand, gospel entrepreneur. So just give me the wisdom. I'll make the $50 million. I'll take and I'll give it to Pastor Dave. I got it, God. Pour this wisdom out. See, I thought I was ready, right? You know what God said to me? God said to me, says, don't rush it, son. I don't want you to go to hell over money. Now, that was over 2 years ago. And when I think of all the things He has taught me in the last 2 years, believe me, I was not ready. I'm probably not ready now. And now that I don't think I'm ready, yeah, that's usually when He says, you know, then you're going, I ain't ready. He's saying, yeah, you are. No, I'm not. You know, anyway. Glory to God. God, that's destroyed a lot of ministries. Honest to God ministries where God called a person, man or woman. But yet they got out way ahead of God. They didn't wait for the actual word to step out. Financial problems moved in and wind up getting divorced, and pretty much the ministry starts off, you know, it's already ruined. You know, already got a bad testimony right from the get-go. Now, God can overcome all of that. But anyway, it's just not the best way to go. Hallelujah. Okay, I read that. God finances the work He has appointed, not that of man's. He told me one time, he said, boy, I finance my work, not yours. How's that for plain? See, if I choose to go to Houston on my own, God's not obligated to finance that at all. Oh, I didn't tell you all the other part. They took so good care of us, and we didn't have any arrangements with them at all, none. Nothing was ever said about money. And I took enough with us, you know, so that, you know, we could be okay, because I didn't know what was going to happen. Well, we didn't hardly get to spend anything. But we came back with about five times as much as we took. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where the Lord leads, the Lord provides. If He says go to Houston, that plan will be blessed. That we didn't have to take up an offering, they have to do nothing. Well, I did have to take up an offering. LaRue said, take up an offering. I says, I'm not good at it. I don't do that. I don't do offering. I forget to take offerings. Now, he says, just go ahead and do it. And then he kind of walked off, you know. So I'm asking the Lord. I said, Lord, He wants me to take up an offering. I'm not good at taking up offerings. I don't ever take up offerings, you know. You know, unless I'm down at Pastor Dave's, then I have to. And, somebody's got to do it. But I don't do it, and I'm not good at it. So I was complaining to the Lord about this, and He says, well, I'll tell you what. Let me take up the offering. Lord, you want to take up the offering? Yeah, just let me take it up. Okay. Have you ever heard of that, Gerald? I never had either. I didn't even know what He was going to do. Got down there, and they introduced me. They had me come up to take the offering, and then I knew. The Lord said, just let me speak to them. So I just began to speak in other tongues and interpret. You should hear what the Lord said to those people. I would to God they'd have got it on tape. See, they don't normally start the tape till after the offering. You ought to have seen that guy back there scrambling. He started hearing this prophecy. He's looking for tapes and pressing buttons, but they didn't get it done, you know, in time. But it was wonderful stuff. God said to LaRue down there, He says, the word that's going forth from this place, talking about LaRue, not me. He said, the word that's going forth from this place will bring in the fuel that will fuel the combines that will harvest the fields that are white and ready for the end time revival. And then he says, would you like to participate? Do you think we took up an offering? LaRue come up here and said, my God, I've never heard anything like that. And I said, neither have I. The Lord, he can take an offering now, I'm telling you what, boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Item 3. And we're running out of confession time. Learn to let the Word fight its own fight. This is something God told me in 1986. It's hard to learn to do this. He says, learn to let the Word fight its own fight. He doesn't need your help. God doesn't need any help from man in order to bring His promises to come to pass. See? All He wants from us is to agree with His Word, put His Word into our mouths, and confess it as already so in our lives, and then give the Holy Spirit time to pray all of the details into manifestation as you give time to Him by praying in other tongues. Y'all get that? That's all God's asking. He says, you take my word, you put it in your mouth, you confess that sets your course, then you pray in other tongues, let the Holy Spirit pray all the details out, and then you just rejoice in me until I do it.
Hallelujah.
Now how simple is that? We make it so hard. God, you're just not doing it fast enough, or you just need my help. I'm just going to help you a little bit. Don't help him a little bit. Don't help him. You know, don't help him at all. If you will learn to be obedient to do these two things, what two things? Put his word in your mouth. Speak it every day. Pray in other tongues. If you do those two things, that's all God needs from you. He will do the rest. He doesn't need your help. Everyone say, he doesn't need your help. Hallelujah. Now, I only have one confession page tonight, and I see why now. We never would have made it to the second one. There's a couple of them here I want to talk about before we do the confession. Look at the first, the actual verse here, the Romans 4:20, talking about Abraham, and he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now get it straight though, Abraham didn't start out that way. Obviously he didn't start out that way. And you'll find other things in there where he didn't start out that way. How does God change him? How do you become fully persuaded? God changed two things with Abraham, just two. He changed what he was seeing, and he changed what he was saying. That's what we're doing with this revival thing going on at the church right now on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. They're down here doing it tonight. What worked for Abraham then will work for you now. If you want to become fully persuaded, say, I'd like to believe God will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Brother Gary. See, I know how that feels. I tried to believe that for years. Sue knows I tried to believe it for years. But I could not believe it as much as I wanted to try it. It doesn't work by trying. It works by taking that word, putting it in your mouth so the Holy Ghost can hear God's word coming out of your mouth. That's what the Holy Ghost performs, God's word. And if you'll keep saying it and saying it and saying it, you will believe it eventually. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You keep saying it, and it's good to add your sight. What do you mean by that? Whatever it is you're believing for, start seeing it that way. He took Abraham out. They'd never had a child. He says, look up at the stars. Your descendants are going to be like that. He changed what Abraham was seeing. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means I am the father of many nations. So he had to say that everywhere he went. Every time somebody spoke to him, he heard it. God changed what he was seeing. He changed what he was saying. And that's how Abraham became fully persuaded. If you'll change what you're seeing and change what you're saying, you will become fully persuaded. And as soon as you become fully persuaded, you'll have the manifestation of it. Hallelujah. Now, this next one is an unusual verse. Hebrews 6:12 says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, see, in the English language, when we say the word patient, we think almost slothful. Patient is kind of a sit-down, wait type of deal, right? But notice the verse, the first part says, don't be slothful. Don't be slothful, be patient. It sounds like opposites. Till you look up the word slothful. The word slothful means sluggish, lazy, and stupid. I'm sorry, that's what it says, Strong's Dictionary. Look it up. Sluggish, lazy, stupid. See, most people that think they're waiting on God, they're not doing anything. They're not walking the floor and speaking God's word. They're not praying in other tongues. They're not coming to Thursday night Bible study. See, what they're doing is being sluggish, lazy, and stupid. That is not how you wait on God. That is not patience. The word patience means you never change. You praise God on the days you see the manifestations, and you praise God on the days you don't. You praise God you're healed when you feel like you can whip 100 wildcats, and you praise God you're healed when you can't get 10 feet from the bathroom. You don't ever change. That's what patience is. It's the same God, I worship you today, everybody loves me today, and then the next day everybody's throwing rocks at you and spitting at you. Now, I love you, God, I don't ever change. I love you, God, I worship you. But Pastor Dave says, you develop that place with Jesus where you love Him regardless of your circumstances.
Amen.
See, that's patience, all right? So it's interesting. It says, be not slothful. Don't be sluggish, lazy, and stupid. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith means I put it in my mouth, I change what I see. That's what I do. Now, the patience part is I don't ever change until I get it. I don't ever change. My words are always the same. My faith is always the same. My love for God's always the same. Everyone stand up for a minute. Hallelujah. Coma devils are starting to float through the room here. Hallelujah. Well, it gets warm when you get almost 50 people in here. Thank you, Jesus. We worship and praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're full of patience. We don't ever change, Jesus. We love you when it's warm. We love you when it's cool. We love you when you were wide awake. We love you when we're sleepy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus, and I praise you for blood moving through these people's brains. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can be seated. We're going to run out of time. Hallelujah. Okay, these other ones, those were the only two verses that I really wanted to pull out to you, because a lot of people think patience is not at all what they think it is, okay? Now, let's just start the confessions here, okay? And I always put the scriptures on there for you later on, because as I say every week, whenever you start believing God and start confessing His Word, the devil is going to come and with his same old tactic, and he's going to say, oh, really, Leonard, really? You stagger not at the promises of God. Really, Leonard? And Leonard can get his little sheet out here that's got that scripture right under it and just quote the direct word right back to the devil. That's the same way Jesus defeated him. It is written, and that's the same way you're going to defeat him, or you're not going to defeat him. Glory to boot camp. Hallelujah. Say after me. It says, I stagger not
at the promises of God.
I believe every promise.
I am strong in faith.
I give all the glory to God.
I am fully persuaded
that what God has promised,
He's well able to perform it.
God doesn't need my help
to perform His word.
I am diligent to stay in faith.
I am diligent
to remain in patience.
I believe God.
I never try to rush Him.
I praise Him instead. While I wait.
I am patient. That's probably the most important line on the page. I am patient.
I never change.
I praise God.
For the truth of His Word.
Every day.
I inherit every promise.
They're all mine.
I have them all.
In Jesus' name. God is God. All things are possible unto Him. I believe God.
All things are possible unto me.
All
things are possible unto me.
Power belongs to God.
Power belongs to God.
God cannot lie.
God cannot lie.
God performs His word.
God performs His word.
He is able to do exceeding.
He is able to do exceeding.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all that I ask or think.
Above all that I ask or think.
God's power is at work in me.
God's power is at work in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have confidence in God.
I have confidence in God.
He is still working on me.
He is still working on me.
He's not through with me yet.
He's not through with me yet.
He began a good work in me.
He began a good work in me.
He's continuing to work in me.
He is continuing to work in me.
He will never stop working in me.
He will never stop working in me.
I am full of faith for the now.
I am full of faith for the now.
I am full of hope for the future.
I am full of hope for the future.
I trust God.
I trust God.
It pleases God to work in me.
It pleases God to work in me.
And I like to please God.
And I like to please God.
I let Him work in me.
I let Him work in me.
He likes to work in me.
He likes to work in me.
God is doing His good pleasure in me.
God is doing His good pleasure in me.
God has given me eternal life.
God has given me eternal life.
I will live forever.
I will live forever.
There's no rush.
There's no rush.
My eternal life with God.
My eternal life with God.
Has already begun.
Has already begun.
I never have to get anxious.
I never have to get anxious.
Or in a hurry about anything.
Or in a hurry about anything.
I am already living forever.
I am already living forever.
You ought to say that about 1,000 times till it dawns on you. Your eternal life has already begun, Donna. You've already done all the dying you're ever going to do. Someday you'll slip this body off like a glove, but Donna, the Donna we all know and love, Donna, you're never going to die, honey. Is that good news or what? Don't y'all wish you was like Donna? No, we're all like that. We're all like that. Hallelujah. See, say it again. I am already living forever.
I am already living forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This fire shoots at my toes when I say that. Something happens. Glory to God. I'm going to run off, take off with Andy one of these days. I told Tim, I said, now the day, Tim, you and I take off like Andy, revival has hit the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he agreed with me. See, I never worry about anything.
I never worry about anything.
I pray about everything instead.
I pray about everything instead.
I thank God for His answers.
I thank God for His answers.
I am full of peace.
I am full of peace.
I am the peace of God.
I am the peace of God.
That came from Dave and I love it. Hallelujah. I am the peace of God. Let's do it one more time. We got time.
Okay.
Say, I stagger not at the promises of God.
I stagger not at the promises of God.
I believe every promise.
I believe every promise.
I am strong in faith.
I am strong in faith.
I give all the glory to God.
I give all the glory to God.
I am fully persuaded.
I am fully persuaded.
That what God has promised.
That what God has promised.
He is well able.
He is well able.
Also to perform it.
Also to perform it.
God doesn't need my help.
God doesn't need my help.
To perform His word.
To perform His word.
I am diligent.
I am diligent.
To stay in faith.
To stay in faith.
I am diligent.
I am diligent.
To remain in patience.
To remain in patience.
I believe God.
I believe God.
I never try to rush Him.
I never try to rush Him.
I praise Him instead while I wait.
I praise Him instead while I wait.
I am patient.
I am patient.
I never change.
I never change.
I praise God for the truth.
I praise God for the truth.
Of His word every day.
Of His word every day.
I inherit every promise.
I inherit every promise.
They're all mine.
They're all mine.
They're all mine.
They're all mine.
All the promises of God.
All the promises of God.
Are mine.
Are mine.
He died so I could have them.
He died so I could have them.
I'm have them. They're all mine.
They're all mine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have them all.
I have them all.
God is good.
God is good.
God is God.
God is God.
All things are possible unto Him.
All things are possible unto Him.
I believe God.
I believe God.
All things are possible unto me.
All things are possible unto me.
Power belongs to God.
Power belongs to God.
God cannot lie.
God cannot lie.
God performs His word.
God performs His word.
He is able to do exceeding.
He is able to do exceeding.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all that I ask or think.
Above all that I ask or think.
God's power is at work in me.
God's power is at work in me.
I have confidence in God.
I have confidence.
confidence in God.
He is still working on me.
He is still working on me.
He's not through with me yet.
He's not through with me yet.
He began a good work in me. Amen. Hallelujah. He began a good work in me.
He began a good work in me.
He is continuing to work in me.
He is continuing to work in me.
He'll never stop working in me.
He will never stop working in me.
I am full of faith for the now.
I am full of faith for the now.
I am full of hope for the future.
I am full of hope for the future.
I trust God.
I trust God.
It pleases God to work in me.
It pleases God to work in me.
I like to please God.
I like to please God.
So I let Him work in me.
So I let Him work in me.
He likes to work in me.
He likes to work in me.
God is doing His good pleasure in me.
God is doing His good pleasure in me.
God has given me eternal life.
God has given me eternal life.
I will live forever.
I will live forever.
There's no rush.
There's no rush.
My eternal life with God.
My eternal life with God.
Has already begun.
Has already begun.
I never have to get anxious.
I never have to get anxious.
Or in a hurry about anything.
Or in a hurry about anything.
I am already living forever.
I am already living forever.
I never worry about anything.
I never worry about anything.
I pray about everything instead.
I pray about everything instead.
I thank God for His answers.
I thank God for His answers.
I am full of peace.
I am full of peace.
I am the peace of God.
I am the peace of God.
Now just listen and repeat after me. I heard the Holy Ghost say, do this. Say, I meditate the Word of God.
I meditate the Word of God.
I pray in the Spirit.
I pray in the Spirit.
I go to a Spirit-filled church.
I go to a Spirit-filled church.
I go to a Spirit-led Bible study.
I go to a Spirit-led Bible study.
I'll never get too mature.
I'll never get too mature.
To do those things.
To do those things.
In case you didn't hear me.
In case you didn't hear me.
I meditate the Word of God.
I meditate the Word of God.
Every day.
Every day.
I pray in the Spirit.
I pray in the Spirit.
Every day.
Every day.
I go to a Spirit-filled church.
I go to a Spirit-filled church.
All the time.
All the time.
And I go to a Spirit-led Bible study.
And I go to a Spirit-led Bible study.
A lot.
A lot.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. I tell you what, if you just run around, I myself, this one that says I'm already living forever,
yeah.
When I say that, there's some kind of peace just starts. It's like oil running down on me. I'm just going, what am I worried about?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already living with Him forever.
Yeah.
It's already begun. I'm not going to die. There's no rush.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's at work. The devil's defeated. Jesus is Lord. What am I worried about? Let's praise Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you and give you glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, and praise you. Hallelujah. Now, any of you that haven't had, did you all see these things? Cake rolls. You got it. We got some with puddings and things, and then some of them have ice cream in them.
Yum.
So, you are dismissed. Now that we've fed your spirits, we'll feed your flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah.